This is Jenny Randall, and you're listening to the Radical Radiance Podcast.
Hey, friends, welcome back to the Radical Radiance Podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca George, and I am so thrilled to be joined today by my friend Jenny Randall. I have been following Jenny for quite some time now, and it felt super fun to finally get to bring her into an episode and share her with you. So today we unpack everything chapter 9 of Do the Thing: Gospel-Centered Goals, Gumption, and Grace for the Go-Getter Girl. This chapter is called Interrupt the Overwhelm, and Jenny was the perfect person to bring into this conversation. I can't wait for you to listen. A couple things. Number one, do you have your copy of Do the Thing yet? If you haven't bought your copy yet, go grab it wherever you like to buy books, Amazon, Christian Book, all the places you can grab it, and go through it with us as we walk through each individual chapter. And then number two, I want to make sure you know there are a couple spotty places in our technology. We had a couple glitches as we were recording this episode, but it was such a rich conversation that I felt we would all be okay with knowing that there's just a couple places for 10 to 15 seconds that you might just want to fast forward where our voices are overlapping. But other than that, we should be good to go. So help me welcome our new friend, Jenny Randall, to the show. Jenny, welcome to the show. I am so excited to get to sit down and have this conversation with you. Thank you for being with me.
Oh, thanks for having me on. I'm excited to get time with you. Finally.
I know. I have followed you for so long, and it's so fun to finally get to sit down and have a conversation. We have a couple projects with the same publisher, mm-hmm. which has been so fun to see. You get ready to launch this book, Flash Theology, which we're going to talk about at the end of this episode. I'm so excited about it. And it's just been so fun to see the path that God has you on. Well, and what he has you up to. And so
thank you. And congrats on your book. All the applauses. I'm proud of you.
Well, it is. Thank you, friend. I am so thankful that you also endorsed the book, which was such a gift to me. And so I wanted to bring you into one of these conversations. We're doing a series where we take each chapter of Do the Thing and have a really focused conversation about the meat that's inside of each chapter. And as I was thinking through my friends and who I might want to bring in and who might be a great just voice to talk about this topic of overwhelm, you came to mind. And so I'm so excited we get to dig into that today. And as listeners will have noticed this, because this will be our 9th episode like this, we pick a couple of the scriptures out that we talk about in the chapter, kind of dig through those, and then have some more specific questions related to overwhelm. So I'm excited to dig into this. And the first scripture that I pulled out was in 1 Corinthians. It's chapter 15, verse 58. And it says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." And I don't know about you, Jenny, but sometimes I can read passages like this that have these really, this really strong verbiage of be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that can really encourage me on some days, but on a day where maybe I'm overwhelmed, it can feel like a lot, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But this verbiage of like knowing that my work in the Lord, when I'm laboring for the Lord, it's not in vain. That actually feels really freeing and encouraging to me. Mm-hmm. And so when we get overwhelmed by sort of the weight of our calling, or maybe even all of the hats that we wear in the work that we do, how would you, in looking at this verse, how would you say this encourages you, remembering that in the Lord, our labor is not in vain?
Yeah, it's such a beautiful passage, and it's written by Paul. And I love Corinthians. So 2 Corinthians, he uses the word glory a lot, like God's glory, and talking about how, and you know, as Christian women, we often say we work for the glory of God, right? But what does that actually mean? And what he's talking about is that we're doing it all for the good of others and the glory of God. And there's this passage in 2 Corinthians where Paul says, "We have treasures in jars of clay to show that their surpassing power belongs to God and not in us." So when you read that passage, it reminds me of this one, because saying that we're treasures in jars of clay, it back in the day, the jars of clay were like basically modern day Tupperware, right? Like just the normal everyday thing you put things in, and it was fragile. And when it reminds me of that, our lives are fragile and we are easily breakable. And then Paul's like, but you're immovable. You have to be steadfast. And we can only do that because we are so fragile. We can only do that by remembering the treasure we have and who God is, who Christ is. And then when we center our life around him, we find his strength, not our own, to endure. So it's really saying like, man, the weight isn't on your shoulders, the weight's on God's. And I know you write about that a ton in your book, because how often do we think we're going to be fixers of all the things and get all the stuff done, and we can have these great and glorious goals, but if we're not centered on the right thing, we will get burnt out, we will get weary, we will even begin to make idols out of the very things that God has invited us to steward.
Psst. Did you know that my debut book, Do the Thing, Gospel-Centered Goals, Gumption, and Grace for the Go-Getter Girl, is available wherever you like to buy books? I wrote it just for you, friend. So if you are ready to see your gifts and talents from a gospel-centered perspective, prioritize goals related to your calling as you move forward with gumption and grace, maximize your passions in the work you do every day, actively partner with God to serve him and love others, and overcome negative thought patterns so you can brainstorm, develop, and create with the confidence of a go-getter girl. If that sounds like you, then I want you to order today at the link in the show notes below. Each chapter includes prayer prompts, scripture for further study, questions for reflection, action steps to move your goal forward, and accompanying videos for individual or small group discussion. So grab a friend or 12 and let's use God's word as our compass to do the thing. After all, if not now, when? One of my greatest joys is having the opportunity to come share God's word at women's events, retreats, and conferences. I'm booking speaking engagements for this year and next year, and would love to chat with you about your church's next event. Shoot me an email at hello@radicalradiance.live to start a conversation today.
So what would you add to that?
No, I think that's so good. One of the things that I say really often is it's not all on us or up to us, right? We are partnering with God and in the work that he has put before us. And it really is that partnership. And so, no, I think that's beautiful. And I was like, yes, amen. Because this second passage that I pulled out really illustrates this so well. Again, it's Paul in Ephesians 3. He's just the best. And this is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. It's verses, I'm going to read a little bit more of the context before my favorite verse, but I'll read verses 14 through 21. And it says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." Ephesians 3:20 is one of my very favorite verses as it pertains to what we're talking about, of he is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine because of the power that is at work in us, right? And so how would you encourage listeners just with this truth that he strengthens us through his Spirit, as it says earlier in that passage, and he is able to accomplish far more abundantly than we could ever ask or think?
It's such a good reminder. I think even prayerfully meditating on that verse often helps you refocus on why we do what we do and how we do it, right?
Yeah.
So I guess the biggest encouragement it's one thing to know that God strengthens us, and it's another thing to experience it and to actually like understand.
And live like it's true.
Yeah. And live like it's true. Yeah. I like how you said that. So I guess God invites us into relationship, and then he requires obedience from us. So when I think of that verse, it's like, well, am I being obedient to spend time with God because I love him, not because I want something from him, right? How often do we have something big going on and we're like, Lord, we seek him in our desperation, but do we seek him in our daily just because we love him? So yeah. I think there's an intentionality. I know there's an intentionality God wants from us in a loving relationship. So just being rooted in who he is so imperative to keep to be centered on not only him, but the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, right? And to be responsive and obedient to the gifts God has given us, and to build the church and also impact people on mission for him. So it's, I don't know, man, daily time is the greatest thing I get from that passage. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. You know, I think a couple years ago, the Lord continued to really show me this, and we talk about this a lot on the show, but, you know, so many times I would go to scripture just looking for, okay, how can I change how I'm living? How does this impact? It was very me-centric in the way that I was reading scripture, and the Lord really challenged me of like, Rebecca, I want to show you more of who I am, and that actually transforms you, right? Yeah. Like, come to my word and seek to know me more, and in that, you're going to find all you need. And so I think that would be my biggest challenge of us as we seek his word, and we seek to just take steps of faith forward in our calling, and all of that's beautiful, but like at the root of it, are we spending time in God's word with a heart to open the Bible every day and say, like, God, what do you want to show me about who you are?
Yeah.
What do you want to reveal to me about your ways and your character? And that changes me, you know? So I love that truth so much. I'm also thinking about, and we talk about this in this chapter, there are so many seasons of our lives that feel very mundane and maybe insignificant. We talk about this earlier in the book. But in this chapter, I specifically talk about how I have seen it to be true in my life that God just doesn't waste things, right? Like, I'm thinking back on my career. For many years of my corporate, if you want to say career, I was a recruiter. So I spent all day, all of my working days, asking people questions as I hired great talent for different organizations, right? And there were many days of those years that felt so mundane, and I had this heart for ministry, and I didn't know what God was going to do with it, and I couldn't connect, like, God, how are you going to use this in the future? And now here we sit, and I'm hundreds of podcast episodes in of getting to ask amazing people great questions, right? And so I just see so much that God didn't waste those years, right? And so I just wonder, as you think back over your life, do you see evidence of that as well? Like, how do we remember that when we're in one of those moments that might feel overwhelming and we feel called to more? Mm-hmm. And we just need to remember that truth that God just doesn't waste anything, and he's refining us as we continue to move forward, you know?
Yeah. I've had very similar experiences within my career as well, where so my dream since third grade was, and I didn't always know exactly, but was to work in Hollywood in the entertainment industry. But I did, like, I knew I wanted to make an impact through media or film or something like that. And my first I move out there, start working as a receptionist, and then I got, you know, trained myself on the software, and I began to work as a video editor working on these huge blockbusters. Like, it was amazing. I joke, it was my glory days, the highlight of my career. And then we went downhill from there.
I love it.
But if I held so tightly only on that one piece of the vision God gave me, like when I became a Christian at 18, I felt very strongly he was like, you're called to impact all aspects of media. And I held on to that. But if I was like, I'm only called to impact videos, or I'm only called to work in the entertainment industry, and that's it, I would have missed out on all the other tiny little career paths that I went on. I began to work for churches and media. I began to work as I eventually was a graphic designer, an art director, and a publishing company. I eventually, like, you can just trace the career path. Yeah. I went on to impact businesses and was building businesses and then a nonprofit. And now I'm an author. Every piece of that puzzle of career changes and the ups and downs has impacted where I sit today. Like, it's all about telling story for me. Like, but what avenue am I telling a story in, you know? So if I held too tightly onto the first vision God gave me of impact the entertainment industry, not the first vision, like the big vision of doing that, I would have missed out on all these other really radical things, because I would have been like, but you said this. So I think with vision, it's great to hold on to it. And I mean, God never gives us a 600 page guide, right? Like, you're gonna go do this and
that's
then
right,
take a left, take a right. Like, that would be nice, right? But then that would take
that'd
away,
be beautiful.
It'd be beautiful, but it would take away our desperation for trusting him.
That's right. That's right.
And believing that he will carry us to the next thing, and that we're hearing his voice and walking in his will, and repentance when we're not, right? So for me, looking back, I'm like, oh yeah, it all makes sense. In the midst of it, did it all make sense? No, it never does. Until you're on the other side and you're like, oh, I see why you wove, even with relationships and like people that come into your life and like why things are hard sometimes. And you're like, I see how you wove that all together. I'm in a season now of waiting, and it feels very mundane. And I cannot tell you the power I have felt in God through the waiting, because he's sustaining. Yeah. Like that verse says, he sustains.
That's right.
And if he just genie in a bottle gave me all I ever wanted, right, it wouldn't cause this desperation of me seeking for comfort.
That's right.
And for endurance and for vision and for those reminders. And like you said, who is God? Like, we should always approach scripture wondering who God is first, and then seeing how that impacts me. Like, God, it's God's story, not mine. So when we keep that vision,
that's
like,
right,
God, where are we going today? It really... I mean, it keeps us on our toes, and it keeps us incredibly humble, right? Because who really knows what they're doing? You know, it's just
that's right. None of us. Yeah. None of us know what we're doing.
Thank God for God.
That's right.
And he knows. He knows.
Thank God for God. He does. It's so good. And I think the thing that I'm pulling from this is like, there's a thread, right? Like, when we both can look back over our lives, you know, you use the term, you know, he's weaving this together for his glory. And like, I can look back at maybe those days in recruiting or other areas that I worked in and think like, man, God, in the midst of the absolute mundane waiting, yearning and longing of that season, God, you were refining me in a way that was very necessary for what you were leading me towards. And I didn't know that at the time, but I can see that now. So praise God for that. And also, if you're there today, we can trust that God is doing that very thing. He's refining us and preparing our hearts for what we'll need to carry into that next season of ministry, which again requires a deep dependence and desperation for him. Mm-hmm. And I think another very necessary thing to talk about when we talk about overwhelm is just how much it can squander our creativity, mm-hmm. right? Most of the people who are going to be reading this book would probably consider themselves a creative, and just like you and I. And so I know we emailed back and forth about this a little bit, of just the importance of rest and Sabbath, and how we just see in scripture that it just renews our minds and helps us move forward in faith. And so I wonder, as a creator, as a person who does what we do, how have you seen God use rest to renew you?
Yeah, I love my job. And if you were like, you can work 24 hours a day and be fully fine, like I would do it, because I love it so much, which is
same.
it's a blessing and also a curse because boundaries are great. Right? So
yes,
the Lord has almost sidelined me for a season with different health issues where I like physically could not show up the way I wanted to. Right? And I don't wish that upon anybody. But in that process, I have learned what true Sabbath rest is. And obviously, if you study Sabbath rest, there's the physical practice of it, right? Which is usually what people are talking about when they're referring to this, which is like, turn off your computers, don't work, take 24 hours off, hang out with your people, spend time at church, like, you know, that Sabbath. There's a practicality to it. But also, if you study it, Sabbath rest also is literally just resting in Christ through salvation, and that he is the true ultimate Sabbath rest. So when we Sabbath in the practical way by turning off our computers and not working and trying not to worry, what we're supposed to be doing is centering on Christ, right? The true Sabbath rest. And what does that actually mean? So on a practical level, it's like schedule it in your calendars. Like if you're that type of person, you need to check something off your list. Like be so intentional. So Sabbath really lifts the overwhelm because what you're saying is the world doesn't rest upon my shoulders.
That's right.
It's fine if I don't work today. It's not up to me to save the world. And if I think of what the opposite of Sabbath is, it's actually slavery. Like, are we enslaved to our work schedules? Are we enslaved to that to-do list? Are we enslaved to anxious
thoughts? The world is not
going
to stop spinning on its axis because
you rest. Even idolizing that feeling of busy, 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 go, 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 and resulting in overwhelm? Or are we trusting God with our schedules? Because it is a command he asks of us, like, take a day and worship me and see that it is good. So intentionality is huge in this piece of the physical conversation of Sabbathing.
Yeah, I agree. And as you were talking about the beach vacation sort of analogy, it reminds me of that passage in Exodus where Moses is coming down from Mount Sinai and he's glowing with the glory of God, right? Why? Why was he glowing? He was glowing because he had been in the presence of God and he was different because of it, right? And so the same is true for us in the midst of true rest and true Sabbath. And so that's beautiful. I love it. And we've touched on this a little bit, but I think it's a fun conversation to sort of think through what does it look like to create a system to sort of organize our work, our lives, and sort of map out how we'll move forward in a healthy way, right? As you said, when we plan for a vacation, let's say, there's so much pre-work that has to happen to ensure that we truly get to rest.
What I have found to be successful in this season is I have this fancy tablet called the Remarkable. Have you heard of it? Well, it doesn't connect to the internet. So you're not, I mean, it can, but you can't like download apps and you can't check your email from the tablet, but it's a tablet device. On Friday, I'll look and see what my next week holds, what my due dates are, and I'll literally just write out on this tablet when things are going to be due, when I'm going to turn things in, what that looks like, and what pages I need to read, super detailed, and then I'll put due dates next to them. And I always do my due dates like a day before it's actually due because I'll trick my mind to show up earlier and more efficiently than actually turning things in on the last second. So it's just the habit of doing digital, like writing everything out. And then I appreciate the check mark. I'll check it off and I feel successful. And I carry that Remarkable around with me everywhere I go. And it's been so helpful because when I'm looking at the work I got to get done, I'm not distracted by my phone that I try to hide so I can stay focused. So it's just the practicality of figuring out like what system works for you, whether it's digital or pen and paper, scheduling it on your Google Calendar, and then actually, this is the hardest part, actually sticking to what you have planned out. Right?
I know. Yeah.
Oh,
the same thing happens with me. So I love pen and paper. I love the way it makes me feel to check something off a to-do list. It's so satisfying for me. And so I am addicted to this planner called the Full Focus Planner. So for people who have been listening for a long time, you've probably heard me talk about it. Yeah, it's incredible. And I will say, throughout the course of my life, I'm like a planner hopper. Like, I'll buy a cute one in January, and then in May, when I am perusing through the aisle in Target, I find something I like better, and then I switch. So that's been just a normative thing in my life throughout most of my life. And then I started using the Full Focus Planner, and I'm like 4 years in, and it's all I've used for several years. And it just helps me keep all areas of my life organized well. And it helps me so much. So if you are like a taskmaster type of girl, you like to check things off your list, that has been a system that has worked really well for me. So love it, love it, love it. Okay. So there is a question that I'm asking every guest that comes on this series. And it just kind of points us back to some of those truths that we find in Do the Thing. And I would just love to hear, what would maybe be your best piece of advice for the girl listening who
I think
is reading Do the Thing, and they desperately want to see their calling from a gospel-centered perspective? How would you encourage her?
All of that. First of all, is that it's good to dream with God, right? There's not arrogance in that, because you're trying to walk out the will of God. And His dreams for us are probably far greater than we can imagine. And He brings significance into everything, right? Even in the things that are we consider mundane, I believe He sees as deeply significant. So one dream isn't greater than the other, right? They're all equally significant in God's eyes. So like giving yourself permission to dream with God is huge, and realizing that it is healthy to dream. Right. And it's not selfish either. I've met I coach authors often, and they have this struggle with showing up on the platform because they don't want to look arrogant. And it's like, no, you're literally stewarding the ground God has given you. Like, He's asked you of this, and He's called you to this. So are you going to trust God over yourself, thinking that you're making this an ego thing when you're not? So permission to dream, my friends, that's the biggest thing. And trust that in God's infinite, unlimited creativity, that He will resource you in how He's calling you. And all you get to do is be obedient to the very thing He asks of you today, and to carry that long-term vision perhaps He's placed before you, but realize that the pressure is on His shoulders. And all you get to do is take one step at a time and do that trust fall that we talked about of actually believing and pursuing Him in the midst of it all.
There's a quote in the book that says, "The outcome is His, the obedience is yours." Right? And so it's not all on us. Mm. It's not up to us. The outcome is His, the obedience is ours. And so that is beautiful. Love that so much. Okay, well, I'm excited because this is our first conversation together on the podcast. So you have not answered this question. This is the last question I ask of every guest that comes on the Radical Radiance podcast. So the podcast, again, is called Radical Radiance with a Heart, to help women see what it looks like to radiate the heart of Christ in all that we do in our life, our work, our relationships.
Like, this is a tricky question.
And so the question I love asking is, today, how would you answer, what about Jesus makes you
radiant? Like I
said
earlier, I've been studying God's glory and the weight of who He is. I think when I reflect upon who Jesus is, it's really the most humbling thing, how big God is, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, how big. And then the fact that He invites me into His story to participate, like that, it blows me away, and it's really humbling. So I don't know if I'm answering the question properly, but because of that, I feel like I'm radiant because of simply who He is, and acknowledging the fact that in His vastness and in His largeness and in His, He's created all the things, He's given me a gift of Himself and invites me to go on mission with Him. And it just blows my mind. And like I said, we're like these fragile little jars of clay, so easily broken, but there's that security in who God is that really gives us the endurance in our faith to keep going. And man, I want to get at the end of my life, whenever it shall be, and know that I stewarded the things he asked of me, whether my relationship with my kids, my husband, like the everyday moments of being with family where it's so easy to get in those unhealthy routines of, you know, sitting on the phone or whatever. But I want to see the people that are in front of me just as Jesus does. And I think that should be a goal for all of us, because if we can't steward the very things in front of us, how are we going to carry out these bigger visions that he's given us? You know, so it's all so interwoven in who God is and his story.
Yes. Oh, that's beautiful. I love it. Well, I am so excited about not only just what God is going to do through this conversation, but also the work that he has you up to these days. I'm so excited for you to share with listeners all about Flash Theology.
Is my first book that I co-wrote.
Just where they can connect with you and grab all the resources that you've written and that you
is the academic theologian on the project.
So I would love for them to share
other books together.
I'd love for you to share a little bit of theology,
which I love, which is important. And he and I collaborated, and I'm so excited for this to be released in the world. So it's a visual guide to knowing and enjoying God more. And it's basically these 31 truths about who God is, just like you said, like internalizing who God is so we can better walk out who he's created us to be. And it's highly visual, really fun, like diving into what is God is Savior. What does that actually mean? God is dwelling, the Trinity, God is just. What does that mean? So these different stabilizing truths of God that will help us in the times where we are trying to figure out our own truths, right? Like how often do we hear that? This is my truth. And the world seems so uncertain at times. So it's like time to rally for the truth. So this is that project called Flash Theology. And if you guys are interested, you can check it out at flashtheology.com.
Love it. Oh my goodness. And it will be out into the world by the time people listen to this, so they can go grab it anywhere they like to buy books, which is so exciting. And it just, I'm excited to get a copy of it. And just, I mean, the truths that we maybe have known for a long time, or the truths that we're like, okay, yeah, I know, and I see that in scripture, but like, what does that truly mean? I'm excited to go through it myself. And so I'm so thrilled that you put it together. And, are getting to share it with us. So I am so incredibly grateful for you and this conversation that we got to have today. I'm excited to share all of these with all of our listeners as we walk through this book together. So we will have another episode coming next week about chapter 10. If you are new to the podcast and maybe
Thanks
this is so the first episode that
on.
You've listened to, you can go back and listen to a singular episode about every other chapter in Do the Thing. And again, we'll be continuing to release them moving forward. And so, Jenny, I'm so grateful for you and grateful you'd be my guest today. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Jenny as much as I did. Go grab a copy of her newest book, Flash Theology, that she talked about at the very end of the episode. I can't wait for you to continue to learn from her and for us to continue this series about Do the Thing. We're almost done, guys. We're almost to the end of the book. And so next week, we'll be talking all about chapter 10, and I can't wait to see you then.